Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show. This is your Tuesday Morning Show host, Julie Calamine, and I'm joined by my co-host, Phil Huff. Good morning, Phil.
Morning, Julie. It's May. I'm back.
It's May, and it's May Day, isn't
it? May Day.
Sure is.
There's hope of spring in the spring showers that are coming down.
So true. And not too many showers in the forecast. We'll get to that in a moment. But Phil, how was your weekend? Have you been getting out in the nicer weather?
Yeah, it was good. We got out and had a little short walk and then turned some soil and sifted a little compost and helped start get the garden beds ready for some seeds coming up this weekend, maybe.
It is. It's that time of the year. I had family in town from Minnesota and there were little ones and gardening is fun for them. We were able to get our row of potatoes planted and it only took an extra couple of hours with them helping.
Yes, how it works. Nothing like many hands to make heavy work.
That's so true. Well, let's do talk about the weather, and then we're going to introduce our first guest this morning. So we're going to be doing pretty well early in the week and through most of the week. Today, it looks like we'll be having, today we'll be having a chance of showers and a high of 58. Tonight, a slight chance of showers, low of 38. Then it's on to sunnier days for most of the rest of the week. We are looking at mostly sunny, high of 65. For tomorrow, low in the 40s, so we're not freezing. Thursday, once again, mostly sunny with a high of 70. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low of 45. And then Friday will be sunny again with a high around 70. Saturday is our only cloudy or stormy day, and then sunny days again Sunday. So it's looking like some good weather for the next week or so.
Sounds like a good week coming up.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, we're joined today for the first half of the show by Ken Larson, who is co-founder and president of the North Idaho High School Aerospace Program. He's going to tell us more about what's happening with that. Welcome to the show, Ken.
Yeah, thank you very much. The program is called the High School Aerospace Program, but it's really open to students of any grade. We've had students as young as sixth grade who are working on building an airplane with us. The program is in its fifth year, and we have really exciting times going on now because some of our early students are graduating from college programs and moving into careers. So we're really excited to follow up on some of our students from the past.
I should say so.
So tell us about which students are involved, which schools are involved.
We have students from the Forest Bird Charter School, from Sandpoint High School, Sandpoint Middle School, and we have several homeschool students. This Saturday, we're holding an open house at the Sandpoint Airport. And one of our objectives of this open house is to invite students and their parents who are not in the program yet, but who might like to take a look at it. And that's going to be at the Sandpoint Airport starting at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning.
Neat. Ken, tell us just a little bit about you, because you're here, you're a volunteer, you're a pilot. How did you become involved in this program?
I was an Air Force pilot, and then I flew business jets for 10 years with a company called NetJets. And 5 years ago, I was asked by the Forest Bird Charter School to help them start an aviation program. And that's kind of how it started. I never dreamed that it would become a full-time volunteer position, which is what it seems like now. I spend more time on this than anything else. All of our volunteers all of the people who work with us are volunteers, and all of our funding is through donations. So it's not just me. It's quite a group of people, each of whom is an expert in his or her field. We teach academic classes, which are now being held at Sandpoint High School. And the teacher there, Nayla Morton, is the school district's specialist on career pathways and CTE classes. So she helps us develop career pathways type classes for aviation. Ryan Turner is a certified ground instructor for the FAA, and he helps me teach the classes at the high school. We also have a program that meets on Saturdays called the ACES Workshop. And those students are really being celebrated this Saturday by showing off the airplane they built. They built a plane basically from scratch, and I got to fly it last August, and it was a beautiful experience. They now are working on a donated 1945 Taylor craft, doing a complete restoration of the plane. They stripped it down to bare metal, primered it, and now they're doing fabric work. We also provide flight training for any of the students who want to look toward a career as a pilot. Mm-hmm. And right now we have 6 high school students in flight training.
I think when most people hear flying, they think of pilots, and you've mentioned obviously the construction of the plane. Tell us about the full range of things that are being taught, the instructional, educational classes, and hands-on experiences.
One of the reasons that we picked aviation to provide the STEM training that we do is that there's a huge shortage throughout the industry for qualified employees. I do an exercise in class where we try to guess a career that can't be related to aviation. It's actually that broad, but everything you can think of, from being a baggage handler at an airport to being involved in aerospace, like actual rockets and that sort of thing. Mostly what we focus on is pilots, aircraft mechanics, engineering, and then support, such as one of our very first students today is graduating from Rocky Mountain College with a degree in aviation management, and she's already been offered a job with Delta Airlines. So it's a really broad range of topics. And one of the things we're adding to the program is a unmanned aerial systems program, which is basically drones. The drone industry is growing so rapidly, there's already a shortage of jobs. And this will involve a lot of different kinds of students rather than just the hands-on mechanics, because a lot of it involves computer programming, robotics, and that sort of thing. So the students don't just end up with knowledge and interest in aviation, but a lot of the skills they learn, such as teamwork and quality workmanship and that sort of thing, are transferable into other industries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, particularly computer skills and the drone education. That seems to be a great addition for your program. Ken, who are you hoping will attend this Saturday?
Our main focus, our main hope is that a lot of new parents and students will come and check it out and maybe see if they're interested in getting involved. The Experimental Aircraft Association chapter here in Sandpoint has been very, very active in helping us get student scholarships, and they are doing an airplane display. So a number of airplanes that were actually built by people in Sandpoint will be on display, and that always brings in a good crowd. So everyone in Sandpoint area is invited, of course. What we're hoping for, though, is to generate interest among students and their parents.
So the students that are taking the classes get some form of high school credit for this that in some cases they can take to college, and others, it sounds like, may go either directly to work for a company or into a trade school?
One of the reasons aviation is such an important topic for us is that the Sandpoint has a really growing, strong aviation aerospace industry, with Quest Aircraft, Tamarack Aerospace, Timberline Helicopters, Cygnus, and some others, and then Aeroset Floats and Priest River. So we've had some students that went directly from high school into Quest Aircraft, and that's certainly a possibility. Quest has said that they would give some priority to our students in applications because we have the experience of, you know, teamwork and quality workmanship. The academic classes we teach at Sandpoint High School do provide high school credit for the students. The airplane building program, the ACES workshop, is a certified club of Sandpoint mm-hmm. High School, but open to any students in our Sandpoint area. So it does have the school district's support.
And I suppose there's people out there listening. I know if I was in high school again, I'd be going, can I get my pilot's license?
The answer is yes. We are doing everything we can to make it affordable. These high school students who are involved in the flight training get a discounted rate on the airplane and the instruction, but we still need people to donate money for scholarships. Mm-hmm. The EAA chapter has been very, very strong in providing scholarships, and we work individually with each student to try to find scholarships for them for our program, as well as when they go on to college. We have two students who are currently taking flight lessons who are moving to Central Washington's aviation program next year. Annie Slippy is one of our graduates, and she is completing her commercial license at Central Washington University. Sam Stocking, the fire chief's son, is an instructor pilot now at Rocky Mountain College, and he was one of our graduates. So aviation pilot licenses are very possible. There are age restrictions, but other than that, anyone's welcome to investigate that.
What are the age restrictions?
In order to solo, whether you're working toward a sport pilot license or a private pilot license, the student has to be 16 years old. To actually get the license, you have to be 17.
You've talked about students building planes, and you've also talked about students learning to fly planes. Do the students get to fly the planes that the other students built or not?
It's turned out that almost all of the core group of plane builders are also taking flying lessons.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first plane that they built, we flew the first time in August. The FAA inspected it and was very impressed with the quality of the work. And we have to fly it for a total of 40 hours before students can fly it. And the plane they're building now is we're going to keep it. It's going to become like the tailwheel bush plane that they will get to fly.
I know building an aircraft requires very meticulous record keeping in terms of what the FAA requires for logging stuff. I don't know the details. I just know it's very meticulous. So the students are learning not just building, but also the requirements and the skills necessary to do that, it sounds like.
Oh, exactly. They've learned how to read the blueprints, how to fabricate the parts, how to check their own quality. And then, like you said, yes, there are lots of record-keeping requirements, and they became pretty good at that, too. When the FAA inspector came to take the first look at their airplane to issue an airworthiness certificate, we had three students there because it was on a school day. And each time he found some little thing that he needed to know more about, he would ask a student. At the end of it, he said to me that, boy, this really does belong to the students. They know this airplane. One of the things that had been neglected was calibrating the fuel tanks. And a sixth grader did the calibration of the fuel tanks while the FAA inspector watched, and he signed it up. So we had some damage done to an airplane at the airport last October, and one of our current students, who is 17 years old, was actually hired to help do the sheet metal work. And Gavin Klein, who is graduating from the North Idaho College program this week or soon, he fabricated some of the sheet metal parts for the repair of the project. So these students really know what they're doing.
You've talked about planes being donated, and I've got a note on my outline here that we like donated airplanes. What kind of donated airplanes do you like?
We have so far been donated three airplanes and then lots of miscellaneous parts. So when someone donates a plane, we always discuss with them, is it okay if we sell it? And is it okay if we sell the parts that come with it? Chuck Chehawk is kind of a legendary pilot around Sandpoint, and he had this beautiful little blue and yellow biplane called an EAA biplane. It was built in like 1960-something, and he donated that to us. And we were able to sell that to get the money to build the restoration of the Taylor craft. We were recently, Nick Guida, who's the head guy out at Tamarack Aerospace, just donated parts for a plane called a Fly Baby. And so we got that on Saturday. And unless it's a complete kit or a complete airplane that we can restore, typically what we'll try to do is sell the parts to raise, you know, funds for our operations.
Are there other programs like this, or is this unique?
Our program is kind of unique, but there are some around the country, and they're becoming more and more of them. There's an aviation high school, actually, in Seattle near Boeing Field that's sponsored by Boeing and Alaska Air Group. But as far as Idaho and Western or Eastern Washington, we're the only one. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, AOPA, has been holding some symposiums on high school aerospace programs. Mm-hmm. And at the one in Seattle, they were telling us that our program was really far ahead of most of the efforts in the country. The one thing they said we were lacking is the drone program, and we're adding that now.
It sounds like a real opportunity for students. Let's get back to Saturday and talk about some of the events during the day. I know that students will have an opportunity to learn about the program, but there are other things going on. I see Fly the Simulator.
One of our students, Anna Filch, who is graduating with the degree in aircraft management, was given a really nice flight simulator several years ago, and she donated it to us. So we have it all set up now, and with the work of Jonah McLaughlin, who is a senior at Force Bird Charter School, he has done the programming and the IT work to get it running, and it's a beautiful thing. So people can come and fly that. We are hoping to set up a drone simulator today and tomorrow so they could fly that. We will have our airplanes on display at my hangar. And we have an airplane from the Civil Air Patrol in Coeur d'Alene that's coming up, so students can learn about that. Central Washington University is one of our partners, and they're bringing one of their brand new airplanes over for display. And so people can learn about college programs through them. At 1101 Airport Way is Granite Aviation, which is called the FBO, the Fixed Base Operation for the airport. And people can go there and get directions to our hangar. There's parking there. In the morning for pilots, parents, and students, and this includes new parents and new students who want to check out the program, we're having a meet and greet in the hangar. And then from 11 to 2, it's open to the public. At noon, we are serving free hot dogs, which are donated by an engineering firm called Z Aero, which is a local aerospace engineering company. The EAA will have aircraft on display, and also there will be opportunities to learn about things like the 99s, which is the world's largest women's pilots association. They will be there. There will be people from North Idaho College. The local EAA sponsors a program called the Young Eagles, where students from 7 to 17 years old can arrange free flights, and they will be there taking registration. And throughout the day, we'll have coffee and juice and water and that sort of thing, and lots of students there for people to meet.
Sounds like quite the event. For folks who might have been listening and didn't quite catch it all, is there a website they can go to for more information or to share with their friends?
The website right now is under construction, but it'd be nice if they check it out when they can, which is highschoolaerospace.org.
Okay.
For the flight training, we have a website, which is pilottrainingnw.com.
Okay.
NW okay. Meaning Northwest.
Makes sense.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Ken, what if they would like to reach you?
They can send an email to highschoolaerospace@gmail.com.
Very good. Very good.
One of the things that sounds really intriguing about this is how it's a partnership between the various schools here locally. And tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, we have very strong partnerships with various schools, high schools, middle school, and even a couple of the elementary schools. Sixth graders are very interested in this. One of the groups that we are trying to reach out to even more are homeschool students, because we provide a lot of activities. In our ground school class, we do field trips, and we have lots of guest speakers. We have really close association with Quest Aircraft, and they do a lot of technical work with us, and they also provide guest speakers for our academic classes. Tamarack Aerospace has always been really strong, and so has Aeroset Floats. Timberline Helicopters has invited us over. They help do the primering on the students' Taylorcraft at no cost. Life Flight, the medevac helicopter, They have invited students over for one-on-one, you know, sessions. So it's quite a community. And then Central Washington University, with their aviation program, they have reached out to us, and we've become very kind of a close relationship with them. And North Idaho College has been fantastic. They have an aerospace program where students can get an airframe license and also learn about work with composite construction of materials, including like BMW is looking at their graduates for working on composites for automobiles.
Well, it's interesting because, as you said earlier, so much of this technology doesn't have to stay in the aerospace industry, does it? They could, students who have learned from your program could go many, many places.
Oh, that's exactly right. And some of them do. We've had students who went into various fields, but still kind of related to the things that we do. One of the exciting things about our proposed drone program is that the technology is transferable to like automation in factories or robotics, or even if you think about it for medical applications like prosthetics, which can involve programming, you know, that sort of thing. So we're really excited to add that to it too.
It sounds like it's both personally and professionally enriching the whole program.
It is, and the beauty of it is we keep in touch with our students, and the way we do that is they keep in touch with us, which is really exciting. One of the first high school student I flew with is Maggie Kircher, who graduated from Sandpoint High School, and she has an interview with Republic Airlines on the 11th of May, and she's just been a tremendous success in everything she's tried to achieve through our flight program.
Yeah. Well, what I find really interesting and I think nice about this program is that so often the older adults here in the community will talk about how do we keep our young people here? And this is truly a way that that can happen, isn't it?
It is. It's not only that, but we see the students mature maybe more quickly than most of their peers, which is quite a benefit to the community to have such a group of, you know, strong personalities and, you know, really good people in the community.
Well, we're running a little short on time. Before we go, though, for those who are interested in volunteering or might have that spare airplane in their backyard, I guess in their backyard hangar, right. The best person to contact would be you?
Well, yeah, email highschoolaerospace@gmail.com. And we can talk about it from there.
It gives a whole new sense of meaning to, Dad, can I borrow the keys, please?
Exactly. Sure does. We have a need for financing, of course, to handle our operating costs. We are operating out of a hangar that we can't use in the winter because we need insulation and a heater. Mm-hmm. So help with that. And then scholarships for flight students.
So you have some immediate needs, and hopefully folks will come on Saturday and consider some donations or help in some form. Ken, can we have the details of Saturday time and place one more time, and then we'll wrap up, but we'll take a break for song related.
Okay, we're going to be at the Sandpoint Airport. And the best way to get there is Boyer 2 Airport Way. It's 1101 Airport Way. Ask for our hangar, and they will direct you there. We'll have some signs up. The meet and greet for parents and students, including new ones, is and pilots, is 9 to 11. The event will run until 2 in the afternoon.
All right, so 9 to 11 for one group and then the public from 11 to 2.
Exactly, thank
you. You're welcome. Thank you for joining us. And that was Fly Like an Eagle with the Steve Miller Band. This is Julie Calamine, your morning show host, joined this morning by Phil Huff on a typical Tuesday morning. For those of you just joining us, you are at 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio from North Idaho. And if you didn't hear our entire interview this morning, I hope you'll go to our website, krfy.org, and look up the podcast. We'll post that shortly after today's show. Phil, who have we got here?
Well, Ken was a fun interview for the first half of the show, but after the song break here, we have three folks coming in to talk about Idaho Gives. Probably familiar to most of our frequent listeners, Dennis and Webb from Seoul, Cindy Marks from the local cancer
Research?
Community Cancer Services.
Community Cancer Services. Thank you. It's a mouthful, Cindy. Thank you. And Britta Byerly from the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. Welcome to the show today.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
So why don't we start off with a little bit of an overview of what Idaho Gives is all about, and then we'll move pretty quickly to what the events are this week. And Dennis, maybe we should start with you.
Okay. Idaho Gives is a 24-hour day of online giving in the state of Idaho. However, you can actually give to any Idaho nonprofits, no matter where you live. So you could live in another country and jump online and give to a nonprofit doing great work in the great state of Idaho, the Gem State.
And this is what, the fourth year of it? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. We've, I think, been involved with it with nonprofits for 4 years. And so we have several community events I'm sure we'll dig into in a little bit. But
yeah, I know I'm, the nonprofits I'm involved with, who are involved with it, have been involved for about 4 years.
Yes. Sorry for the delay.
So maybe we can go quickly around the microphones, if you will, and tell us a little bit about how each of your nonprofits benefits from the day.
Sure. Yeah. So for us, we are an experiential education nonprofit. So we work mainly with youth within the community, serving public schools and individual youth during the summer. So donations given to our organization during Idaho Gives provides scholarship monies for individuals and schools doing soul programming.
And this is Cindy from Community Cancer Services, and we support anyone who has been diagnosed with cancer in Bonner and Boundary counties with gas vouchers for getting to appointments and treatment, food vouchers for maintaining good nutrition while they are going through treatment. And we can help out with medical bills, depending on, you know, I have a lot of people who come in with thousands and thousands of dollars worth of medical bills, and I'm still learning this job, but I'm also learning that I can get them written off and or help them pay. We also have individual and group counseling on site. We do wigs, hats, scarves, things like that for those who have lost hair due to treatment, and just general support. I myself am a two-time survivor, and making that connection with people who are talking to me the first time they've talked to anyone who's been through it. They've been in a world of doctors and nurses and treatment, and talking to me who's been through it is a wonderful connection. So that's what we do. And it seems like we're always raising funds, but we're in the business of giving money to people to help them. So it is an ongoing fundraising battle.
And Britta, Scotchman Peak, Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness.
Thanks, Julie. So the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, our main goal is for wilderness designation for the Scotchman Peaks roadless area over on the Idaho-Montana border by Clark Fork. But beyond doing advocacy work, we do a lot of stewardship with weed mitigation. We have worked with the Forest Service on white bark pine seedlings and seeds up on the Scotchman Peak area, trying to get that keystone species doing well again. And we also do trail maintenance, a lot of trail maintenance. We're gearing up for that this summer, and we're really looking forward to a good year. And we have a winter tracks program during the winter, getting kids outdoors. We take the Idaho kids down to Round Lake, so they're able to learn about trees and winter birding, and we had a great session with orienteering this year, which was really fun. And we also do hike series and trail ambassadors. That's starting up again this year. If anyone heard about the nasty mountain goat problem up on Scotchman Peak and someone getting bit, we are trying very hard to educate the public about how to teach the mountain goats to fear people again, for both the safety of the public and for the safety of the mountain goats. So we do a lot of great work out in the Scotchmans.
Yes, you do. And this morning we have three nonprofits from the community, and there are many, many more in Sandpoint. And I'd just like to ask our guests, why today? Why on Idaho Gives Day a person could really give to a nonprofit any day of the year? Who wants to take that one?
So part of the reason is it's just kind of fun for that camaraderie, and you can come out to one of the events that we'll be talking about. We'll be hanging out at Evans Brothers and the IPA, so those are both really fun places to go. But also there are benefits where some organizations are providing matching, and there are also prizes for organizations. So if you get to, you know, a certain, I think they've got the golden ticket again this year, where if they happen to draw a certain donation to a certain organization, then they give more money to that organization. So your donation can be worth more than it normally would be.
Seems like a great opportunity for the nonprofit community to come together really and promote itself collectively as a whole, to look at the value of the nonprofits to the community, both from the standpoint of what their individual charters impact, but really about how that sector impacts our daily lives.
Yeah, I think part of it is that we get this feeling that the nonprofits are competing, and this is just a show that we're working together, and we want as much as anything to inform people today. I've got the list of the others who are going to be with us or are participating. They're not all going to be here, but the Carousel of Smiles, the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint, the Panada Theater, Freedom House, who I saw the other day has set a really big goal of $100,000 to purchase the house next door, Rock Creek Alliance, Panhandle Animal Shelter and their Home to Home program, the Sandpoint Area Seniors, Bonner Community Food Bank, American Heritage Wildlife Foundation, Selkirk Outdoor Leadership, Rhythm's Way, Idaho Panhandle Habitat for Humanity, Sandpoint Academy of Arts, the Hope Memorial Community Center, Community Cancer Services, Sandpoint Youth Center, Friends of Scotchman's, Selkirk Conservation Alliance, and up in Boundary, we have the Pearl Theater and Grow. It's a gardening organization.
Mm-hmm. And there's also statewide organizations that aren't based locally that operate in Bonner County and provide services. Many of those statewide organizations are participating as well.
That's right. I'd like to hear about the day's events.
So in the morning, we'll be at Evans Brothers, and they will be giving away some gift cards and stuff based, and then we'll do some raffles. The individual organizations that are participating have items to raffle or give away for certain dollar amounts. And then for the bigger donors, your name will get dropped into a pot for some bigger raffle or prize items. And IPA in the afternoon, same thing.
Except with beer instead of coffee.
Different beverage.
That's right. Well, why don't we hear about the hours of those events?
Yeah, so both events are occurring obviously at different times. So the Evans Brothers event is from 8 to 10 are the primary hours to be there and participate. And then IPA is from, we say 4:30 to 8, but it's probably more like 5 to 8 is when most people actually show up and come in.
And they do close, so you can't plan to come at 10, right?
This is true.
So don't plan to come late and stay late.
And so it's possible for an individual to show up and donate in person, but primarily the focus of this
Correct.
Is online.
Yeah, and the thing is, for your listeners today, you can also schedule your donation to all these nonprofits right now, actually. So we've already raised about $1,400 in donations right now. So, you know, some of our donors have already given. And so definitely, and it goes towards Idaho Gives and the Idaho Gives totals. And the other neat thing about the golden tickets are unique donors. So donors that, you know, the first donor to give after 12 midnight, you know, will get randomly drawn within whoever's participating kind of thing.
Well, I hear golden ticket. Describe the golden ticket. What's the beauty of the golden ticket?
A few years ago, I guess 2 years ago, we had a donor that donated to Soul, and they donated like $25, and then we received a golden ticket award for $500. So it just shows you, you know, and yes, it is at random. So they select, you know, I don't know how the algorithm or what have you that they use. Britta has it right here for you.
She's
on the ready.
I cheated, you guys. I got on idahogives.org. So the golden tickets are $1,000 each, which is really huge for, I think, all of our organizations.
That's double what it used to be.
Yeah, so golden tickets are drawn every other hour during Idaho Gives between 9 a.m. and 11 p.m. Mountain Time. And the first drawing will be chosen from organizations that receive donations between 8:30 a.m. and 8:59 a.m. Mountain Time. So we have to think that we're living in Boise's world right now. So they're talking Mountain Time. All the drawings that follow will be chosen from organizations that receive donations during the hour before the announcement. And then they also have these things called 5x5 prizes.
Yeah.
So they are $500 each. And the state of Idaho is divided into five regions. One random organization per region will be drawn every other hour during Idaho Gives from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain. And it's the alternate hours from the golden tickets. So if anyone's interested in that, you can see what all of the prizes are for the nonprofits that you choose to support at idahogives.org.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I think we actually got the 5x5.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah. But if you can't win if you don't play.
That's true.
You've got to get pledged donations during those hours.
Mm-hmm. And Dennison was talking about that first donation prize. That one is also $1,000.
But it's also Mountain Time.
Yes. So the organization that receives the first donation after midnight Mountain Time on May 3rd will win this prize. All sizes and regions are eligible to win. Schedule that donation.
Well, it's interesting because people are motivated to give for various reasons, and some like to see their donations get larger when they give. And that I find that is a motivator for me. So I will look forward to using the day for my Idaho Giving.
Well, thank you.
The other thing with this is it's kind of an opportunity for all the nonprofits to bring in a different demographic. I know a lot of our CCS's supporters are not comfortable giving online, but there's a whole new generation coming on that is the way they give. So this is an opportunity for them to step up and contribute in their way that they're comfortable.
And you can, if you choose to write a check, you can actually give an offline donation. So the nonprofit that you give to, they can actually go in the back end and actually schedule your donation. So that can happen as well if you do prefer to give via check.
I suppose the same would be true with cash.
Yeah, I would think.
How would one do that? Would you call the organization or go to Idaho Gives?
No, you'd want to go to the organization.
I see.
Or come to one of the events.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, may we please have a summary of the event again for those who are just joining us?
So Idaho Gives, May 3rd, that's this Thursday, we'll have donations available. People can donate online at idahogives.org to any of your favorite Bonner, Boundary, or Idaho nonprofits. And then we'll have events at Evans Brothers here in Sandpoint from 8 to 10 a.m. And then again at Idaho Pour Authority if you're more of a beer drinker from 5 to 8 on Thursday.
Good. Something to look forward to for everyone, Phil.
It's a nice bookend to the day.
That's right.
Come early. Stay late.
That's right. Before we wrap up, I do have another question. It's coming after we've summarized, but I'm wondering, does this make up a major portion of your annual receipt of donations for the year?
We are totally grassroots. This is Soul speaking, and which means events like this are essential to actually provide scholarships for our programs.
So it's a big day. It's important.
It is.
And it's growing. CCS hasn't had great support with it. I actually set each of my board members a goal of raising $500 for this event. So if they can meet their goals, and that included me, I'm $50 into my $500. So if they can all reach that, then we're at $4,500, $5,000. So but we have to work on it, and we know that, and we haven't done a real good job with that the last couple of years. So we're working on it.
Yeah, this is Friends of Saskatchewan Peaks. I'd say it doesn't make up a huge portion, but it is an important portion. With all of us, with our small nonprofits, every little bit helps. So even if someone donates $10, that can make a difference. So we encourage everybody to just give what you can.
Yes, and as with everything, I think things do take time to catch on. We learn about them, we hear about them, and at some point they get on our schedule, and pretty soon we're doing them every year.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I've noticed in just the last few days that hasn't happened before, at least not at the level it's happening, is the amount of radio advertising, television advertising, print advertising by the sponsors of Idaho Gives. They've really ramped up their game.
Yes, they have. And actually, we raised, what was it, $1.3 million statewide last year? So that's quite a bit. for one day of giving.
But only 13,000 of that came from Bonner County, so we got to step it up.
There we go.
There you go.
That's right. Well, it is a shout out for Idaho Gives, idahogives.org, and I hope that those of you who are listening will consider going online on this important day, or at least getting out and having some coffee or beer and chatting with your local nonprofits. I want to thank you three for joining us.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks. Thank you all for coming in.
And that's right.
Everybody listening should, if they don't show up on Thursday to one of the events, at least show up online.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you, Sol. Thank you, Cindy, from the Cancer Group. Please repeat it for me.
Community Cancer Services.
Thank you. And Britta from Friends of Scotchman Peaks. Thank you.
Thanks, Julie.
All right. Well, because the topic today is Idaho Gives, we're going to have a song break, and we'll be hearing Willie Nelson with If You've Got the... How appropriate, Phil. If you've got the money, I've got the time.
Yeah, right. I'm glad you got the money.
Well, I thought you had the money.
Oh, no, I've got time.
Oh, darn it. Where's the money going
to
come from?
I don't know, but while we're talking about giving, there's a lot of ways you can give to support community radio for North Idaho to KRFY. You can go to our website, krfy.org, and make a donation using the secure PayPal donate button. You can send a check to KRFY PO Box 2465. Sandpoint, Idaho, 83864, or you can stop by the station most anytime during the week. We're located at 323 North First Avenue. We're upstairs in the building. You'll see us as soon as you hit the top of the stairs. And we love to have people stop by and visit, and especially those who can contribute financially to secure the things that we need to do to keep on the air.
Which are many. And you won't see us on the Idaho Gives list this year, but you may see us next year. So keep your eyes open. But remember, you can give any day, as Phil just said, any day, any time. And we also can use volunteers. And by the way, there will be an Adopt a Highway Day coming soon, which will be scheduled shortly.
Do we have a new sibling this year? Or?
No, we don't. But we do need many volunteers.
Our child needs a lot of tender, loving care.
So true. So true. Well, shall we talk for a moment about upcoming KRFY morning shows? I hope that you'll plan to tune in tomorrow, Wednesday 2, for Local Decision 2018 primary with our hosts, Susie Prez and Chris Bessler. Their invited guests will be candidates running for Bonner County Commissioner District 3. That is Carol Koonsman and Dan McDonald. And that would be tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., so I hope you'll listen in for that one. Then on Thursday, join morning show hosts Jim Healy and Jack Peterson, and their guest will be Bonner County Community Food Bank Director Debbie Love, who will talk about their upcoming major food drive scheduled for May 12th. That's at 8 a.m. on Thursday. And next Tuesday, Phil, we'll be joined by Caitlin Barnhart from The Mayfly Project, and that's a group that works with foster kids and helps them learn how to fly fish.
Well, that should be very interesting.
I think so.
The Mayfly Project. And well, it's May.
It's true.
And it's the start of fishing season. When are you? Well, you've been going out all winter, haven't you?
Very true. So it's a topic close to my heart.
Not really the start of the season. It's the mid-season for
you. True. But I look forward to that morning show interview very much.
Yes. A lot of events coming up tonight. If you have not heard all of the candidates, you can go to the Selkirk Realtors Candidate Forum for state legislative and Bonner County candidates. So most everyone of local interest will be there. You can attend the candidate forum from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Sandpoint Community Hall. It's free and open to the public and sponsored by Selkirk Realtors. A lot of things going on this week. As always, there's fundraisers even outside of Idaho Gives Day. Tomorrow, May 2nd, is the Kinnickin Native Plant Society's annual fundraiser at Baxter's. So join KNPS at Baxter's on Cedar and the Back Door for this annual fundraiser. The two restaurants will be donating a percentage of the day's proceeds to the organization. They're open from 11 to 9 p.m. The Baxter's on Cedar is open 11 to 9, the Back Door from 3 to midnight. So really, you can come early for lunch, stay late for dinner, and then beyond.
That's right. It's an all-day event.
Are you going, Julie?
I am, because I attend the monthly programs, and I would like the opportunity to give back.
I think I'm going for both lunch and dinner. It's right around the corner.
Why not?
Let's
just stay all day.
Probably a good reminder, although we've talked about it here for a bit of the morning show, is that May 3rd, this Thursday, in case you somehow didn't connect the date, is Idaho Gives Day. It's a statewide 24-hour giving day for Idaho.
Idaho Gives is all online, except when you go in person to Idaho Poor Authority or Evans Brothers here locally. Every year, people from across all of Idaho come together for nonprofits. This is to celebrate the awesome work that nonprofits do and raise awareness about the impact nonprofits have for our state. So help raise money. Come to the local events at Evans Brothers Coffee from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. and to Idaho Poor Authority from 4:30 to 8 p.m. More information at idahogives.org. I'm sure you'll be coming out. Will you be going for coffee or beer?
Well, it's hard to decide, but I think I'll plan for beer and maybe do coffee too. How about you, Phil?
I'm planning for coffee and considering beer.
Good way to go. We'll run into each other one way or the other.
They also have some great root beer at Idaho Poor Authority. So for those, you don't have to drink beer. They do have wine and non-alcoholic beverages for those who might be into wine or non-alcoholic beverages.
That's right. You can always bring your dog.
Don't wrinkle your nose. There are some people that don't drink, Julie.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks for ratting me out.
Hey, what is Saturday?
Saturday?
Big picture.
Saturday. Help me.
May 5, also known as?
Help me.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yes.
Yeah. There's always a lot of stuff going on Cinco de Mayo, but mainly, let's not forget to just celebrate the day.
I'm just trying to get through May Day, Phil.
Well, May Day, Idaho Gives Day, Cinco de Mayo, they all come in the same span of just a few days. And this year, like most years, Sandpoint Leadership is holding a special fundraising event. And this year's special fundraising event for Leadership Sandpoint will be from 4:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Trinity at City Beach. Proceeds will benefit Kinnick-Sue Land Trust's Pine Street Woods and Angels Over Sandpoint. There'll be a lot of fun, live music, auction, raffles. Wait for it, a taco bar.
All right, Cinco de Mayo.
I suspect there's probably also margaritas, along with beer and wine and coffee and non-alcoholic beverages, but it should be a lot of fun. If you haven't been to one of those before, Leadership Sandpoint is a class sponsored put on by the Chamber of Commerce. They do some great training and then put it into action. They always adopt an organization or two to raise funds for. And this is a really big event to make sure that you don't miss.
Not to be missed. So if you don't go to the aeronautic, you could probably do both. You could get
you
to the aeronautics
display. Go to the
fly-in
and do that. And, mm-hmm. Yep. Hey. What about the K&K Spring Fishing Derby? Tell us what you know about that.
Well, I know a little bit about it, but I know that it operates on Lake Ponderay, and then it's put on by the Ponderay of Idaho Club, and that there are prizes and an exciting competition for rainbow trout, and I believe there's even a walleye division this year.
Yeah, $20,000 in cash in prizes. That's why you're being so secretive about it. You think it's in the bag.
That's right. You won't hear about it from me.
47th Annual Spring Fishing Contest on Lake Ponderay. Well, that's something. Walleye. Do we have walleye? We have walleye.
We do have walleye, which we didn't used to have. It's an interesting topic that may come up on future Tuesday morning, Phil.
We might have to have people in to talk about walleye. Some love them, some hate them.
That's right. Everyone loves to eat them, but not everyone wants them in Lake Ponderay.
Yeah, they're good eating. The 7th on Sunday is the Monday, free teen center program. All teens are welcome to the Sandpoint Teen Center at 104 South Division for a library-sponsored or STEM activity at 3:30 p.m., hosted by Morgan Garipi, teen librarian with the Sandpoint Library. For this week's theme, call Morgan at 208-263-6930. Do we have time for a couple more?
We do.
Okay. The Geezer Forum, which I think isn't limited only to geezers, but wannabe. And we all want to be a geezer someday because the alternative is no good, right? On the 8th, the Geezer Forum will be at Columbia Bank, 414 Church Street, from 2:30 to 4 p.m. with Paul Graves. The forum's held on the 2nd and 4th Tuesday of every month, presented by Elder Advocates. It's free and open to the public. For more information, call 208-610-4971. I think your last chance to hear from the primary candidates, at least as a group, I'm sure individually they'll be calling and knocking on doors and engaging people one-on-one. But May 8th, a week from today, is the primary candidates forum sponsored by Sandpoint Online and Sandpoint Reader. And I think I heard rumor that there might be a simulcast on KRFY. Do you know anything about that?
Not sure if that's been finalized, Phil.
Okay. I think we're working on that. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned for more if that's going to happen. I'm sure you'll hear about it later this week. The primary candidates forum is definitely happening. It's for all candidates for legislative districts 1 and Bonner County.
It'll be held from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Sandpoint High School Auditorium. It'll be a moderated format with the public invited to hear candidates speak and submit questions, free, open to the public. You can learn more about candidates and their positions at the Election Central page.
Very good. Is there more on the events calendar, or may I slip in a couple of items?
I think you can slide in a couple.
All right. Well, the first one I'd like to mention is that tomorrow night, if you're a gardener, and it is getting to be gardening season, you might consider going to the Bonner County Gardeners Association website, because they're having a class tomorrow, Wednesday, for home horticulturists, and that would be a class pertaining to growing and planting herbs. Mm-hmm. It's not too expensive, and you learn a lot.
And doesn't the farmer's market open this Saturday, the 5th, Cinco de Mayo? It's the first Saturday of farmer's market.
Yes, it is. So we've got lots of gardening-related topics. And we are running short on time, but for those of you who listen to us from time to time but don't know much about our program, I'd just like to mention a couple of shows you might consider. One would be that tonight you could listen to Jack Peterson. He does a weekly local program of local singers and songwriters called The Nor'wester. And if you're an early bird, you can always join us on an early Wednesday morning from 5 until 7, hearing Bernie Mosher playing really easy listening tunes that he's selected. They're beautiful. And then if you're into a little more rocking kind of music, I would think you might like to join us on Wednesday evening, because that is what we call the Hump Day Cafe. That runs from 7 until 9 p.m. And that's our very famous afternoon and evening show host, Velma. So it's worth a listen. With that, I'd like to wish you all a great week, and we'll be out with a tune. And in honor of May Day, Workers' Day, it is Work of the Weavers with Which Side Are You On? Have a great week, Phil.
Have a good week, Julie.